The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, has announced that he's going to establish a domestic violence register of those convicted of rape or serious sexual assault. Under the plan, the register would be made public and list the names, and it has also given rise to some concern about victims' anonymity being at risk. Sarah McGuinness is political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What exactly is the minister proposing here?
So Minister Jim O'Callaghan yesterday responded to a motion brought forward in the Dáil on gender-based sexual and domestic violence. That motion was brought forward by Ruth Coppinger, the People for Profit Solidarity TD. And she basically made a 10-point plan of things that she would like to see introduced to, I suppose, help survivors of domestic abuse. It was worked on with survivors, and Minister O'Callaghan in the Dáil yesterday welcomed many of the proposals that she put forward, including this domestic violence register. Speaking yesterday, he said, "We publish a list of tax offenders, but not for people convicted of rape." And basically, he said that it was incomprehensible that the public weren't aware of people who were convicted of these really violent crimes. And he said that the burden was often on victims to come forward and waive their anonymity in order for these people to be named and shamed. And essentially the intention here is that shouldn't have to happen anymore. There should be a list compiled and published. It's not certain yet how often the list would be refreshed, but an online database essentially would be collated, and members of the public can search it individually. Now, this is a departure from what was originally proposed in draft legislation called Jenny's Law. The legislation was put together by Fianna Fáil Senator Fiona O'Loughlin and Jason Poole, the brother of Jennifer Poole, who was killed by her ex-partner in 2021. That legislation intended for Gardaí to have the list, so a member of the public could go to An Garda Síochána and say, "Is my partner on this list?"
A little bit like Garda vetting. But the question here I have to ask was Jim O'Callaghan limiting it to people who were convicted of very serious crimes, such as rape or serious sexual assault, or and people who were perhaps convicted of assaulting a former partner were to be excluded?
Well, that's the kind of language being used now. To be honest, a lot of it has to be fleshed out once this bill is, I suppose, redrafted and taken through the Houses of the Oireachtas. At the moment, it does kind of seem to focus on crimes of a kind of sexually violent nature. But the minister, to be fair, does seem to be really willing to engage with survivors of domestic violence, like anyone that I had kind of spoken to in that realm from an advocacy or campaigning point of view, seemed very enthusiastic by his commitment to this and said that they had previously engaged with him in the past. I know Jason Poole is looking to meet with the minister and to discuss this with him because he was the one who brought forward Jenny's Law. So there could be room to change there. But at the moment, the minister said it would be sexually violent crimes.
But is there not an inherent problem with this? Because most of the cases of rape and serious sexual assault that come before the courts, the person who survives that has a right to anonymity. And that's there for a reason, because of the nature of the crime. And a lot of the time it can be a family member or a spouse. And if the family member or the spouse appears on this publicly searchable register, are you not exposing the individual who was brave enough to come to court and secure a conviction to public opprobrium?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I was talking to someone in the Department of Justice yesterday, and obviously that is a huge concern. And they said that there will be safeguards in place whereby the name can't go on the register unless the victim consents to their abuser's name going on it. So that kind of seems to be the assumption as to how it's going to operate. So that would protect anonymity because it means that, you know, it just won't go on it at all. But that point was raised by the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, and the department are very cognizant of it. But I think the bigger question about this register is the fact that A, so many of these crimes go unreported. B, the crimes that are reported, so few of them make it to court. And then from that, in that pool, even less of them are convicted. So this was a point that Jason Poole and the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre were making yesterday. They basically said that, you know, there is no point in having this register if we are not convicting people for these crimes.
Can I just add on this point, sir, before I move on? For me, what I would have hoped from this kind of list would be someone who's convicted of something appalling like coercive control or spousal abuse. I mean, are these not the kind of names we need on the list as well? I know we're starting out with the high end crimes, if I could put it that way. But surely, if an egg is a bad egg, we should call it out.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that point will be made by campaigners and advocates as this legislation is drafted. To be honest, there is kind of typically within Leinster House an acknowledgement that Department of Justice is quite conservative and slow to change. So something like this would be pretty, not radical, but would be, you know, pretty forward. It would be a departure from, I suppose, their usual stance. So, you know, like I can't imagine all those changes going in at once. Yeah. But as I mentioned, campaigners have said that they are very enthusiastic to engage with the ministers on this. So I'm sure they will be putting forward that point.
All right, Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent of the Irish Daily Mail. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's bring in Nicola Hannay now, who is a survivor of domestic abuse. She was in a coercive controlled relationship, the kind of relationship I was referencing there, with Garda Paul Moody, who was subsequently convicted. And that coercive control happened when she was going through both cancer and pregnancy. Nicola, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah.
I'm guessing you heard what Sarah said there. Do you think that this potential register goes far enough from what you've heard?
No, I don't think it goes far enough. To me, anybody that assaults a woman or a man, I feel like violence is violence. And what we're doing is trying to save women's lives. So I think a register that anybody that acts accordingly should be on this register. You shouldn't just have to go to prison. So to me, I definitely don't think it's far enough. I definitely agree that it should be looked at again, because the whole point is that I think if a perpetrator knows this is the consequences, well, I don't think they'd be so quick to behave in this manner. I definitely think there's not enough consequences for this behaviour, and that's why it's still happening in the country.
And the purpose of this is to ensure that where it does happen, other people don't end up in the same situation. For you, were you ever concerned that if Moody did this to me, he could do it to someone else?
Absolutely. And I think if he had been on a register already, well, I wouldn't have had to go through this. So by me coming forward, I'm trying to prevent this from happening to another person or to so many other people. So to me, I think that's why the message we're sending out is so strong, to say come forward and speak, because even if you don't speak, you're allowing it to happen to somebody else then. So I definitely think, especially women, we should be supporting one another. So I think I'm trying to do is that we shouldn't have to wait until it gets that bad that somebody has to go to prison for this. I think if somebody knows this register is out there and they will be on it, I lay a bet this problem will not be happening in 5 years' time if this is the consequences for them.
So in other words, that this would act far more as a deterrent than the risk of being caught, because it's a little bit like, you know, Garda vetting. that if you apply for Garda vetting and you don't get it, then you're less likely to become involved in, for example, a sports club or something like that. So the risk and that is enough, do you think, that to moderate men's behaviour?
Well, I definitely think that to get Garda vetted, it's mostly to do with getting a job or employment. So I think, like, putting someone's life at risk, that's the same thing by going into a relationship, where most of these people will not behave like this in public. They will only do it behind closed doors. And most of the time, they're in a relationship with the partner. So they've children, and women feel awful to expose them. But I think, honestly, I think protecting women in their homes and knowing that if there's a good chance now, we're sending out a clear campaign to women that this is not acceptable. There's no excuse for this. So women are going, like, the statistics already this year, for me even making the documentary, for what I wanted to achieve, it's happening. People are speaking up now. The statistics is going up so much higher than the last few years. So it's working, and people are not accepting it no more. There is no more excuses for this behaviour.
Paul Moody was one of the first people to be jailed for coercive control for the crimes that he committed against you over the course of a 3-year period. Since you spoke out, have you been able to speak to other women who had been in the same situation as you and perhaps didn't come forward, or even at the time what was happening to them mightn't have been seen as a crime?
Absolutely. I don't even think women even realise. I think when you're living in this situation for a while or for a long time, everything does become normal. And I think you doubt yourself and you're blaming yourself because the perpetrator blames you. That's what they do. They're experts at this. Like, these are experts at manipulating women and people to think that these are great men. So it's like going for a job interview. You're not going to go and tell them your worst attributes. You're going to go in and sell yourself. That's what people do in a relationship. And it takes time before the mask slips. So I definitely would recommend anyone take time getting to know somebody. But usually it's even after you have children. That's when you see the real side, because they know you have you backed into a corner when you're married, when you have a mortgage with somebody. That's usually when they really take advantage of somebody.
Nicola, we live in a weird world that if I'm convicted of an offence today, the court file relating to me is not publicly available. So if I'm not sitting in court and hear that person X is convicted, it doesn't happen. It stays on the guard, the Pulse computer, it stays on the court service producer, but it's like the old tree falling in the forest. Will anyone hear it if there's a reporter not in court? And that's a breakdown in the system, because, you know, we can find out every bit of information that's publicly available about everybody, perhaps with the exception of whether they have a criminal conviction or not.
That's true, yeah. I think all the things that are put into the proposal, I think we need to still look at it, but I definitely think it's going to help. I think it's the way forward. Is the law is not working at the moment. It's not keeping people alive and keeping people safe. I think the same cycle has been going around for years, and the law hasn't changed for years. But if we honestly want to keep people alive and keep people safe in this country, serious changes have to be done.
Nicola, it's lovely to talk to you again. Thank you so much for taking the time. Nicola Hanny, survivor of domestic abuse there. Before that, Sarah McGuinness, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. If you've been affected by anything we're talking about there, if you just want support from somebody or a listening ear, don't forget the 24-hour national helpline for the Rape Crisis Centre is available. 1-800-77-8888. 1-800-77-8888. We'll come back.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.